Hello and welcome to another episode of the PD Performance Podcast. I'm sitting here with Jennifer Dunn of the Brisbane Lions and the Dublin Ladies Gaelic football team. So we had a lot to talk about her championship win last year with Dublin and her premiership win with the Lions, and now the current season as well as Dublin enter the championship. Loads in this episode about S&C, about the mental attitude you need in elite sport, about professionalism versus amateurism. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, please remember to like it, share it and send it. Jennifer Dunn, welcome to the PD Performance Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Emil.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Good. Yeah, all good. Just, I was saying to you there, I've obviously been working a little bit at the moment since coming home at Christmas. So I'm a teacher technically by trade, so primary school, so got a career break to obviously get the opportunity to go to Australia, but at the moment I'm just subbing a few days, so that keeps me busy. And yeah, just said I'd come in and do this today.
Yeah, absolutely excited to have you in. We've had quite a few of your connections and your teammates on, so it's great to get you here for this chat. And as well as that, we were speaking previously when you were in Sydney on a little holiday to try and put it together after you guys won the comp. But how nice is it to do it in your favourite place of all, Dublin?
It is great. Obviously, I'm happy to be home at Christmas. I feel like as Irish people, even chatting to the girls in Australia, I feel like Christmas here is so different to how people celebrate Christmas abroad. So coming home and seeing everyone and reconnecting with people was really nice, and definitely just used to the Irish weather and the routine of life back here now for sure.
Did much change in the time that you were away and you came back, or is it the exact same?
No, it's the exact same. It's so funny. Now, I only was gone for 4 months, but even the few days I was back, you're just back doing the same thing, meeting the same people. And like, I loved it, and I missed obviously everyone when I did go over. I definitely found the first few weeks in Australia hard, just from homesick point of view and things like that. But coming home, obviously everyone's still here doing the same thing. You feel like when you're away, you think you're missing out on so much, but having come back now, it's kind of, still the same, but enjoying it at the same time.
It was probably harder on you in the way that you went from such like a peak of winning the All-Ireland and then having the couple of days afterwards, and then like you're on a plane that week and gone.
Yeah, that definitely.
So you're like having so much fun with everyone and then you're like, okay, bye.
Yeah. I kind of laughed at a few of the girls now that I'm back, kind of the dramatics nearly of the kind of following few days. Obviously you work so hard with a certain group and we were lucky enough to win last year, but I always knew that I was probably going to have to leave quite quickly after the competition finished, regardless whether that was the final, semi-final, quarter-final. So yeah, Sunday was the game and then I had a few days of celebrating and whatnot. But yeah, I came around to that Wednesday and I was on a flight, and actually even like I think back of it now, it's probably one of the worst days of my life. Nearly just, it was, yeah, everyone was on such a somber kind of mood. We'd come off such a high and it was as if it was just everyone calling to the house saying goodbye. And it was just a weird atmosphere, I guess, because everyone knew that I was leaving. Obviously, I was so excited, but I was also going into something completely unknown. So even for my family and friends, like close friends, it was, a weird one. But I had to just sit on a flight then for 20 hours nearly, just reflecting through nearly images and pictures and memories from the last few days. And obviously, I was so glad. I would have rather been on the plane having won than lost. But definitely tricky all the same.
Yeah, 20 hours by yourself after that is interesting, to say the least. Did it ever cross your mind on the flight, like, oh God, have I made the right decision here? Or were you kind of a little bit excited to get out to Brisbane as well?
I think once I got on the flight, I couldn't turn around at that stage. definitely in the few days in the lead up, obviously, I hadn't really thought much about it with the game being on the Sunday. I tried to just focus my attention on that. So even elements of just packing and different bits and bobs that you kind of have to normally put at the forefront of your mind, I definitely pushed away. So the day before was hectic then trying to organise last minute bits. But I think once I was on the flight, I just had to accept that it was going to happen. Obviously, I had time to process it a little bit more in advance, especially when I signed originally. But I definitely didn't think of it a huge amount, say the week before. And it nearly only hit me then, essentially, when I was on the plane. I kind of knew and accepted that I was going to be landing in Brisbane. And that would be me for the next 3-4 months or whatever.
How long before you left did the girls know that you were leaving?
The Dublin girls?
Yeah.
So once the news came out, I think back in March, so kind of just around this time last year nearly, obviously prior to that, you're having conversations with people and just trying to decide what you want and what's best for me. So I would have spoken to Mick, the Dublin manager, and different people, just because I would rather them hear it from me than through someone else. And for me, I just wanted them to even know that I was considering it. So I spoke to him a little bit. Obviously, he was super supportive, and then would have chatted to a few of the girls that have gone over before. And then essentially, once I did decide to sign, before the news was officially announced, I obviously told most of the girls on the team, just so they knew that this is what was going to happen. Obviously, I was sticking it out with them for the year, but I was going on to this, do this exciting journey and get this opportunity afterwards. I feel like as Irish people, we're so wound up with what others think. And I think for me, nearly keeping that a secret up until it came out was a challenge. I was just really anxious and nervous about what people thought. And because there's so many Irish going over every year, it's, you kind of wonder, everyone has opinions on it. Some people love it, some people don't enjoy it as much. So I definitely was just worried about what my closest friends would think. And obviously they're super supportive, but once the news was actually formally announced and everyone knew, it was like a weight off my shoulders. But I remember listening to, I think Niamh McLaughlin said similar when she signed last year. She just said that the build up in the few days or weeks before it's actually announced is kind of terrifying, because you know the news and no one else does. And then, yeah, it's essentially, like I said, just you feel a bit of relief once it's out there, because then it's not a secret and you know, don't feel like you're keeping it back from other people. So I would have told them like well early on, so probably like February, March of last year. Yeah.
Why do you think we worry so much about what others and our teammates are going to think about leaving? Is it because perhaps in other countries, in other sports, you don't play for where you're from, so you just don't know any different. You don't know any other group, any other team. So it is kind of foreign to go and play for a different team, let alone a different sport altogether.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I feel like I discovered definitely as Irish people, we worry a lot and we're obviously quite humble in our beings, but we care a lot about what others think of us and nearly overthink at times and get stressed and wind up about different things. And could be something major in your mind, but the simplest thing to someone else. But I think definitely that point that, yeah, I guess we play for where we're from. And that was something I came to realise, obviously, having experienced professional setup abroad, like playing for Dublin and playing for your club, my club's Coolat, take such pride in it. It's like you play for where you're from, you play with the people you've grown up with, you play with that kind of parish, because my dad played with that parish and his dad played with that parish. So you're kind of born into it and that's the loyalty you have. So definitely the worry, I guess, probably was that I was telling people that I was leaving, and then questions about my future with Dublin or future with different things would have popped up. But for me, I just was focused on that present moment and just trying to get through that last year. And obviously I nearly used it as ammunition to kind of push on and drive myself in the Dublin setup and not want people to use excuses of me signing or going elsewhere to, you know, hold against me. So once the news was out, I was again relieved and I could just park it and then focus on that. And then obviously when I went to Oz, that was my priority. So yeah, it's like two different worlds really.
So funny that you have to live so in the present for each season all the time, because everybody says, okay, next game, just focus on this season. Let's not look at what's down the road. But for both playing with Dublin and playing with Brisbane, you have to be so fully focused on it because it's a totally different sport. So you really have to focus in. And if one of the teams gets knocked out, which isn't like your fault because it's a team game, your focus almost immediately shifts to the other team and the next competition that's on the horizon. Like,
yeah.
Are you good at that, do you think?
It was definitely something that I probably came to nearly appreciate and understand more, that being present in the moment. Even looking at your questions, and it was something that I've learned from the last year of my journey is to be more present in the moment. Like when I was here with Dublin, obviously that was my focus. When I was in Brisbane, that was my focus. And as I said, now that I'm home, I'm looking at the girls in Australia and you feel like you're missing out in certain things as well and vice versa. So I feel like for me, I nearly had to just not compartmentalize, but kind of separate my two lives, and that when I'm here in Dublin, I need to, you know, be present in that and work hard with what I'm doing here and be happy with that and content, which I am. And then when I'm in Australia, do the same. Because otherwise I feel if you're too caught up in what's been or gone or what's going to happen in the future, you miss the moment and then it passes you by. So I definitely felt once I got to Australia, I just accepted that and kind of rolled with it. And for those few months, it was an unbelievable journey, but definitely just accepting, yeah, being there in that moment and just appreciating it for what it is as well, because you can get wound up in past events and look too far into the future at times as well. So definitely just yeah, being content with what's happening at the moment in your life is probably something I came to realize a lot more last year, having been exposed to the two setups and different lifestyles.
It's probably easier to do that when you're winning.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I guess. Yeah, obviously.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, that's true. And this is a new year. And, you know, you leave last year with the great accolades. And obviously, I'm super proud of them. But it's a clean slate. We start championship with Dublin now this week. And the same with Brisbane. Like, once the new year dawns, you know, you're back to square one. And as much as people still talk about you being All-Ireland champions or, like, you know, premiership winners, you know, as a group, I think both setups, you don't want to carry that load with you. You want to start again and know that you have to build and you have to keep getting better, and we have to be better in both setups this year to want to be successful again, I guess.
How did you manage that transition from the end of the season and winning the championship to then just going straight into the start of another season? Because typically people say, okay, let's enjoy it, and then after a while, let's park it and focus on next season. But you had to do that a week.
Yeah.
That's mental, like.
Yeah, it is a bit crazy. Like, on the Sunday, obviously out celebrating, having a good time, and then the following Friday, being at a training session in 30 degree heat in Brisbane. So, yeah, definitely just a mindset shift. Initially, when I went over to Brisbane, obviously it was a completely new setup. I had been in touch with certain people, you know, as much as I could, but still, while I was here, Dublin was my focus. So once I arrived, I guess there's probably a few crash courses that you do. And I think as most of the Irish players come to realise is that, yeah, there are challenges in their game and it's just different. Obviously, the athleticism and kind of our basic skills are super transferable, but the ball and the unpredictability of that in itself is another, yeah, a ball game. Like, it's crazy to think that changing the shape of the ball can change the game and how you view the game or even play the game. I even jokingly was saying to the girls, if we played AFL with the Gaelic ball, it would just be the most simple thing ever. But I guess that's their game and that's what you had to adapt to. So I definitely had a few days at the start of kind of maybe one-on-one coaching with a development coach and different things like that to slowly ease me in and integrate me in. Because obviously the competition was starting essentially 2 or 3 weeks later. So I knew that I wouldn't be breaking in at the start, and I didn't have any expectation to do that because of...
It didn't take you long though either.
No, not necessarily, I guess.
Considering you missed the majority of the preseason, and as you said, you arrived 2 or 3 weeks before the start of the season.
I guess physically and athletically, probably I was fine. And I think that's something that most of the Gaelic Irish girls bring over, is that they're so well able to keep up with it. And the Australian girls always joke that the Irish are super fast and just really athletic. And I guess maybe just because we're used to our game here and how fast it is and, you know, just the conditioning we would do to, you know, play at an elite level here is super transferable in that sense. But definitely did a few bits, even the kicking, the handballing, all that stuff. Definitely took time, and I'm still not a pro at it at all. But I guess I just wanted to work hard. And then when I was given my opportunity to play, I just wanted to, you know, give it my all. I wasn't going to let, you know, the fact that it was an unknown game, as daunting as it was, and I definitely, the first game I played, even with the rotations and the way the game works, it was quite overwhelming. I had to ask people 100 times just to be sure I knew what I was at, in case, because you don't want to make mistakes. And I feel like as Irish people, I think our work ethic and our kind of approach to that playing a sport in a different sport is what's kind of so likable in a sense. And so many of the Irish girls do well at it over there because they're so open-minded to, you know, learn. And I appreciate, like, I understood I had to learn fast because that was the way it was. But yeah, everyone was super helpful over there. And even the girls and stuff had patience, which was great, because at times I knew I was probably, you know, making them feel a certain way and maybe frustrating them. But I guess that was what they were.
What can you do?
Yeah, that was what they were going to guess. Like. Yeah, bringing an Irish girl in. And they had Orla, obviously, who's been super successful at the game over there and is an insane athlete in herself. So I lived with her, which was super, just to have her to even chat to and lean on and just draw from her experience as well of what she found hard and what she found worked for her. And that was, you know, so helpful for me as well.
Sounds like she gave you a lot of pep talks.
Yeah, a few. I feel like, for her, I think she liked having another Irish person around as well, because she's been the only Irish one there for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. So we're actually similar in a lot of ways as well. And we both just kind of are hardworking people. And she obviously had huge success with Tipperary when she was here as well. So I think just having a lot of similarities and common ground just helped us get on really well. And she's obviously taken to the game super. So I was able to just ask her anything and felt I could just you know, something that maybe I didn't feel I could ask an Australian player or someone like that, I could ask Orla. And she was quite honest and open, even in
and
the way she
put
felt
it
at times.
The way you'd understand as well.
The language and stuff was something that I initially, the first day, I think the first, they're doing a match sim game or a friendly game, and I just sat in on it, and it was as if they're speaking gibberish, because it's English, but it's just all the shortened words. And I'm sure you would know, they shorten everything. They have different phrases, different sayings, especially in footy terms, as they'd say. So I remember the first day I went in and I left, they're like, here's a notebook, just write down any words or phrases you don't know. And I actually came out and it was nearly a full A4 page of just like little sayings or words or phrases that popped up regularly. And obviously by the end of it, then you're just used to it. But it's funny.
But imagine bringing the girls to Dublin to a GAA session.
I know.
They wouldn't have a clue.
No. And even the way we speak, like they thought I was so different to the way Orla sounds. And they obviously are exposed to a lot of Irish girls now in the competition. And they say it's funny how we all from the same place, but we all sound or can sound so different, which was also, something funny to kind of hear them say.
So it sounds like the Aussie girls have been really welcoming and they've been great with you as well. But it's great that there's so many Irish girls over in the league, because almost if you go into any organization, there's going to be another Irish girl there for you to kind of help you integrate. Do you think that benefited you more so in that week or 2 weeks when you arrived, having Orla there? Because it would have been very different if you arrived after winning the All-Ireland, integrating with this group, and it was just full of Australians that probably couldn't connect with you on the exact same level that Orla can, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, she even understood and appreciated what I probably had done the following days after the game, because she'd won the All-Ireland, the Intermediate All-Ireland with Tipperary a few years ago, and even talking to her about where we went on nights out and different things like that. And I think just the Irish culture in the GAA as a whole, she obviously would be so familiar with. So just even having chats with her about that, or even every now and again just chatting about Gaelic football or hurling or camogie in the house, because again, we ended up having loads of mutual connections of people we knew through home. So it definitely helped a huge amount. And like that, if I wanted to just chat about something super normal that was happening at home that I saw maybe online or on Instagram, she was in the know with it, and you could just have, really casual conversations. So it helped a lot. And now the Australians were all great, and we lived with Aussie girls as well, and they came to know the Irish ways. It was nearly like the two of us were doing things that they got used to as well. But no, definitely helps. And I obviously, that is quite common across the competition now, that there are nearly two, if not three players, I guess, that can lean on each other, which is a great thing. But obviously it's, becoming quite big, quite common.
Do you think we'll move to a stage where they might cap the number of Irish players that go over? Or will it just come to like a natural cap anyway, in that they've pulled as many really high calibre athletes over from our country into theirs? And maybe rather than solely focusing on integrating great athletes into being great players, they might need to get that balance right of great athletes and great players.
Yeah, it's hard.
Not that the Irish girls aren't great players.
Yeah.
But as you said, you have to work on the skills initially and they have to teach you a crash course in a new sport to get you into the team.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know. I think obviously there's probably a few new girls announced this year and things like that. I think for me, the opportunity to go over and see Australia and just even get to experience professional setup was very enticing. So that's, I have family in Australia as well, and I never have had the chance to go over prior. So just getting that opportunity to travel and see that part of the world also was kind of an element of it, and deciding to go and stuff like that. But yeah, it's hard to know. I'm not sure. I feel like there are so many Irish now, nearly the Australians are probably sick of us at times. And I could see maybe sometimes, not that
that's because you don't go away when you're playing.
And I don't know if there's a frustration within that on their end, but like obviously most of the Irish that have gone over have been successful and have gotten into teams and broken into starting teams, which is great for us. But I guess for them, for people that are playing the game, you know, from a young age, it'd be like if someone came over from, I don't know, another country to play Gaelic football, and then suddenly your team is, you know, made
picking
up of, made up of more Australians or more, I don't even know, someone else than your own kind of grassroots players. I don't know. It's a hard one to call. I think it could be, there might be something down the line, but at this moment, I think it's still kind of new for most. So I think they'll just keep it as it is and see, I guess, with the growth of the game, if anything happens with it.
But you were saying earlier you were a little bit worried, because there is a little bit of chat from some corners of the internet around girls shouldn't be going over and leaving their clubs or leaving their counties, and they should be continuing to play Gaelic football. But then from my travels out there, my experiences in with some of the teams, any of the players that I talk to back here, and it's typically the male players, they're asking me all about what goes on inside an AFL setup.
Yeah.
And they're hearing everything that's on offer and they're like, oh, that's class. They're so jealous of all the girls that are going out.
Yeah.
So that just shows you what an opportunity it is, as you just said. And you can't criticise girls for taking that opportunity to go and be a professional athlete.
No, yeah.
And live in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, it's unreal.
Yeah, no, and it is such an exciting time for anyone in their life, and if they do decide to do it. The one thing though I would say is that, like, from what I've experienced with the Dublin setup, even professionalism standards wise, I'm so fortunate to be in that setup. And obviously the money and the professionalism and having the luxury of training during the day, because everyone, you know, it's your job over in Australia. Like, the way the two teams carried themselves was so on par. And even when I've come back to Dublin, obviously the main difference I've just found is just everyone has to go to work on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We still train nearly the same amount of time. Obviously, we don't have the luxury of going in to do a recovery bit or spend longer in the facilities. But I actually thought it was really interesting that it was so similar, and that it's kind of a credit to Dublin GAA, I guess, as a whole, is that it's not that far off what an elite professional setup is like. Apart from obviously the luxury of having maybe better facilities and also
more coaches
and not having to have another job. But I think if, like, over here with the GAA, I think again the love of the game is what keep people doing it, and even that's why I wanted to stay and play, and, you know, that kind of way, is because you have a loyalty to your club, you have a loyalty to your county. And I knew I was still going to go back to a professional setup even though there's no money involved. And again, the topic of money comes up a lot with the Australian players, and would they ever think of, they couldn't get over how we play in All-Ireland finals in front of 45,000 people and it's all voluntary. Like, the girls couldn't get over that. But again, I just said it's for the love of the game. It's for the pride that you have in playing for your county, and just kind of the culture we've adopted here. And I don't think anyone would have it any other way really either.
That's interesting that you say that, because some previous guests have said that it may go the way of some sort of professionalism, but I just can't see it happening. I can't see players being paid. I can see better opportunities being given to players as a result of playing, which I think happens anyway, but I can't see them being played. And that was something that I did want to touch on with you, because when you do something for the love of it and for the pursuit of it, it is extremely enjoyable to go and do it. It's your release.
Yeah.
Whereas then when you start being rewarded for it, like with money or like financially, sometimes it can be a job. Did it ever feel like a job playing AFL?
No, like I think every
now and then. AFLW,
well, yes. Not really. And I think the funny thing was, anytime then obviously I got my first pay slip, I just kind of laughed and I was like, oh my God, I've just got paid for doing what I love, which is playing sport and being competitive. So, like, obviously there are huge differences in that element. And I think when there's more money involved, it can be, you know, a blessing and a curse at times. But, I love playing with Dublin and playing Gaelic because, as you said, I've played it since I was 4, 5, 6 and I know no different. Then I also loved the opportunity and the challenge of playing a new sport. And obviously when you're playing Gaelic for so long and you come to a stage where you feel like you know the game inside and out, obviously it's nice to go over and try something new and essentially learn how to walk again. And that was frustrating at times for sure. And I think a lot of the Irish find that, because you're going over being good at something.
One of the best in the team to, like, rock bottom just, almost immediately.
Yeah, being, you know, back to square one. Yeah, so that was definitely a challenge. But again, it's something that I think Irish players really take well to, and they nearly relish the challenge. Obviously, it's, you know, brings its own different things that come up and people find it hard. And there are times where I was going home after training really frustrated or felt like I wasn't going to get a chance to play and things like that. But I think they see something in the Irish players that they obviously are interested in, and that's what draws them to want to sign them and things like that. So I feel like as Irish players, it's just really important to bring what you can to the table and what they saw as kind of attributes in your game that you can nearly transfer over. And that's probably what most try to do. And yeah, there's a bit of unpredictability with that in itself, but that probably adds to the flair that all the Irish players do have.
That's kind of what Niamh Kelly was saying in maybe her first foray into it. She was trying things that she wasn't necessarily the strongest at. And you have to do that mm-hmm. to try to learn lessons and develop as an athlete. But then last year, in like her best year yet, she really just focused in on doing what she does well. And mm-hmm. the reason that she was recruited, putting that into practice on the field. Are you aware of what the reason was you were recruited? Are you told that fairly frequently? And then does it play into the instruction that's given to you on the field of play?
I guess obviously I'm tall, so like over there, height is a huge advantage, whether you're a tall forward or a ruck or even a tall back. So my height and maybe like just my physicality was something they saw. Obviously going over, even listening to Ailish on the podcast the last day, she's not too sure where she'll start off. I didn't know where I'd start off position-wise. Obviously ended up finding myself in the backs, which I enjoyed, but I felt it was an easy place to kind of start from because I just had to be competitive in the air and just, you're actually, it's funny, even my first game with a few kind of, you know, rust
shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders and whatnot you'd have afterwards. They were like, you know, you can actually be a lot more physical with it. But again, we're used to a certain level in Gaelic. And then when you come home to play Gaelic, you have to rein it back in and things like that. But
depends who's refereeing.
Yeah, that's true. But it's still not as physical at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess for me, it was probably my height and just trying to be competitive in the air. And again, I think across the board, like the Irish players' ability to kind of just keep working hard up and down the field is also, yeah, something that they look at.
But since you've come back from watching the games, it seems that you've almost got a new lease of life in that you're getting around the field playing football now, maybe a little bit more than you were when you were playing before you left. And you're certainly looking for the ball a lot more in scoring opportunities. Do you think you've come back more confident?
Oh, I don't know. I don't... Not necessarily. I actually haven't really thought of it that way at all. I feel like if anything, I've found it nearly a challenge just getting back into use the routine of, you know, Gaelic football and the elite level, an elite level that brings in itself. And obviously I was playing games and over in Australia, but like the amount of distance I was covering on a pitch in an Australian AFLW game is so different to what I would have covered in an All-Ireland final last year, say, for example. So definitely athletically and kind of like my running ability, definitely I found just a challenge at times. But I guess maybe I'm probably more aware of like ball usage and just trying to retain possession. Having come from Australia where like gaining ground is a huge thing. So territory, I even forget the language they use now that I'm home for so long. But yeah, gaining territory, obviously, if you just kick for distance, you could end up like locking it in, as they say, down another end and trying to, you know, end up with that being a score. Whereas here, we kick and you want to retain the possession. You don't want to get rid of the ball. So maybe my awareness of just little things like that and even just kicking the ball a bit more, trying to bring that into my game and different things like that.
It's easier to kick a football, is it?
Yes. It didn't take me as long to get back into the kicking. I loved going back to my hook kick. Obviously, their kind of kick is obviously like more of a punt snap kick. But it's funny because Orla O'Dwyer also kicks. She kind of obviously has an Irish kick to it. And they always... we're so surprised about the distance myself and Orla as Irish players could get on the ball when they kick it. We could kick it like 30, 40, 50 yards, no bother. But it was interesting because they're so predominantly quad when they kick it. It's obviously very quad orientated and it's more like a, I don't know even how you'd say it, but it's, yeah.
Snappy.
Snappy. And it's, yeah, the lever that used to be quad rather than we use all hamstring when we kick.
Yeah, it's like loopy.
Yeah. And it's like long levers, full extension. So just the different types of kicks and even being aware of that and how you can use one to your advantage or, you know, and the other.
People will be laughing at my terminology versus yours.
Yeah.
Snappy and loopy versus...
I don't know what I said.
Mine was very scientific.
Yeah.
So talk to me then about the commonalities that you saw between the groups, because you said earlier you noticed a lot of similarities when you went out initially in Brisbane from Dublin. And people will be interested to hear that because it's two successful organisations last year. One won a championship, one won a premiership. What were the things that stood out to you?
I think just the kind of professionalism in the players and how they carried themselves, and everyone was there and everyone wanted to win and everyone wanted to be the best. Through both, you know, both teams, standards within the group would be quite high anyway. So, you know, just little things, arriving to training on time, how you carry yourself, how you train when you're training, you're giving it your all and different things. And also just in even post-match reviews or kind of wash-ups and stuff, even how they go about, you know, breaking down games and looking ahead to next game, looking ahead to opposition. Just all those kind of things were so similar in the way they were done. Again, obviously, probably more time like given on the Australian end, just because you have the luxury of time on your side. Whereas with Dublin, everyone's coming from work or training, so you have to fit it into a certain lot of time, but we'd still get the most out of what we were doing at that moment. But yeah, it was interesting. I think just in general, the closeness also of the two groups. So like everyone on the Brisbane team are best friends. Everyone on my Dublin team are my closest friends, that kind of way. So when you're playing with a group of players that you've built a good relationship with off the field, I think it's transferable on the field hugely. And I think that would be one big thing for the success of our Dublin team last year, for sure. It was because we just bonded so well. And as a unit, same in Australia, when you're playing alongside your best friends, you want to win for your best friend and vice versa. And you know, you're going through these hard sessions, doing all these hard yards of training and extra bits, but it's all worth it in the end when you are successful, which is, I felt, what the two groups, you know, were similar in.
It's funny, like, can you relate to Ailish a little bit more now, given that you had that experience of going in with Brisbane where you didn't know anyone and she went in with you guys into Dublin?
Yeah, and it's funny, even when I was listening to her podcast, I don't even really remember like the first few days she arrived. Like, I feel like it was such a seamless transition. Again, I think she just came into our Dublin setup with that approach of just working hard and wanting to do all she could for the group. And that's definitely what she brought to us last year. So similarly, I think I went in, you know, it's always hard being the new person. You don't want to be too shy because then you might get, you know, left to the side, but you also don't want to be too out there and outgoing because that can kind of put people off you a little bit. So I think you just have to find a good balance between the two and also be open to asking questions, open to making mistakes and things like that. And that's probably what I found, you know, hard at times. But then again, having that Irish connection in the Lions and also having a good relationship with the head coach, Craig, helped a lot, because I felt like I could even go to him about
similar
anything.
To Mick,
similar
way.
To Mick, yeah. And when you build up a relationship with someone, and Mick's been, I think this is his eighth year, like, he's all I've known in Dublin. I went in when I was 18 and he's been there, he's still there now. So I've built up a good relationship with him. And again, I feel like if you have people within a group that you can approach and you trust, makes such a difference. And again, you want to win for the management, you want to win for the coaching staff. And they take so much joy out of it as well, because the amount of work that they put in Dublin or in Brisbane, it's the same. And you just want to be successful for them. And the joy that you give them from doing that is, yeah, really rewarding as well.
People would be frustrated now hearing that, because they would be asking, what are the secrets? Give us the secrets. But it's nothing crazy. Like,
no,
it's just simple,
it really
stuff
isn't.
Done
yeah.
Really, really well.
Yeah.
It probably couldn't have went any better though. Was there any stage throughout the season with Brisbane when you were like, surely we're not going to keep winning these games and I'm going to... Like, obviously you're not looking at the premiership early on. You're just taking it game by game, trying to put your best foot forward. But when things were going that well, was there any part of the back of your brain that was thinking, oh God, it's hardly going to go like this forever? Or because you're from Dublin, you know all about success, people will be saying, and you don't know any different. You just focus on the process and kept showing up and kept winning.
Yeah, I think it was probably that. I guess I've been following the Lions a little bit over the few years in the lead up to possibly going. So I knew what a kind of, they'd won it back in 21, and they obviously have a very good setup and a competitive group that want to be successful. They've lost the grand final the year before, lost the prelim the year before that. So they're getting to the, you know, the latter end of the season. So they know what it takes to win. But, and similarly with the Dublin setup, we've obviously been fortunate enough to get to All-Ireland finals and win All-Ireland finals in the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But I guess, yeah, I just kind of took it game by game. The difference, I guess, was that every time I was playing a new game every week, I was learning a new rule or learning a new thing about it. Whereas with Gaelic, I feel like you go out and you don't even think about the actual logistics of the game. You obviously have certain targets you want to hit yourself, but you just go out and play. Whereas with AFLW, I feel like I had to think a lot more about what I was doing and why I was doing it. And then even in certain games, I was doing things that weren't allowed. And then I'd be like, okay, that's a rule now, take it into the next game. But I think the Irish players, you have to learn quickly and adapt. And yeah, I just took it week by week. And obviously then when we started winning near the latter end, some of the girls would always be joking me like, you could do the double here this year. And I just kind of laughed and brushed it off as Irish people do. And then suddenly we were winners, or premiers, as you'd say. And yeah, it was very surreal. And I feel like I won't really appreciate it and what it is or what it was even all of last year until later in my life, because it just...
You haven't had time.
No, I honestly haven't really. It just has come and gone, and then you just move on to the next thing. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And obviously the memories and everything I've, you know, everything I've learned over the last year as well I hope to take with me. But as I said, it's a new year now. Everyone's back to kind of the bottom and, you know, real champions kind of go again and just try to better themselves. And that's what I think both groups that I've been involved with would want to do.
Is it easier to stay present with both groups? Are there any similarities amongst the groups even and the banter and the crack that occurs, or is it very different?
No, similar enough. Like the Australian humour, you probably haven't gone over and experienced it. It's a little bit different to the Irish humour. So at least I was able to have a bit of a joke with Orla at times and she'd get what I was saying. But I think, no, across the board, like both groups are so similar in that when you're training and you're working hard for something, you have moments where you're going to take it really seriously. And then you also have to have the balance of having a bit of fun and doing things or team bonding things outside of that as well. And I felt like for me, especially when I went to Australia, having lived with the girls on the team, it helped me, you know, get a better understanding of what they were about and I could ask them questions outside of it. So I built up relationships with girls on that team that I'm very grateful for. And I think, again, that's attributes to like successful teams in general.
Do you think that's something that some counties maybe miss? Because at county level, the players aren't as close as you girls are with Dublin. Now, obviously you can't speak for other counties, but I was having conversations this morning about some counties, which I won't name, in which there are cliques of club versus club kind of rivalries that kind of creep in to the county setup. Are you ever going to win if that's present?
I don't know. It's hard, I guess. I'd imagine, and I can't, again, speak for anyone else. I think with Dublin, we've a great balance that we're ripping each other's hair out when we're playing club or even when we're playing in-house games. It's very competitive and everyone's trying to break into the starting 15, if not the kind of finishing group that will probably make an impact on game day. So it's super competitive. Again, as I said, everyone has that competitive mindset going into training, but then you can also have the crack. So for me, I think it makes such a difference if you're close, and like I'm playing with my best friends in the Dublin setup. So it makes training and going to training enjoyable and look forward to it. And there's no tension or awkwardness, I guess. So I can imagine how it might filter through and maybe, you know, something that causes people to maybe not want to even play with their county or step away, or even as a result, as you said, of not being successful. But for me, all I can say is that I play with people that I've built, like grown to know over the last few years. And when you work hard with other people, it makes everything. And winning last year was, great.
But now you're fully focused on this year, as you said. A league that was, I wouldn't like to put words in your mouth and I wouldn't like to preempt what you're going to say at all, but somewhat successful, somewhat unsuccessful, because you didn't get to the final, which probably was an aspiration, but it's not the be all and end all. So you probably just parked it and are moving on. What is the focus now for the championship coming? And how easy was it to kind of just park the league? Because you did play well in instances, very, very well actually in some games, but then others probably you weren't happy with.
Yeah, I guess I feel like with a new group and the turnover in the group with Gaelic is different in the sense that obviously people pick and choose if they want to play the following year. In Australia, you're obviously contracted, so you're...
But you're getting paid.
Yeah, but you're locked in. You might be locked in, so it's the expectation that you play, whereas here it's actually nearly a nice thing that you can decide, you know, in advance if you want to travel or if you want to take that time out. So it's always going to be challenging at the start of the year with people having come and gone and newbies coming into the group. So for us, we definitely just probably took the league, as you said, as a period of trying out a few things, trying out a few new players. And then suddenly we're getting to a stage where we actually could have ended up in a league final based on different results. So obviously disappointing not to get there, but we were actually happy probably with how we finished the league out and some of our performances.
Hard not to be happy with that result against Armagh.
Yeah. Now they obviously didn't put out there. They were in the final regardless, so they probably put out a different team.
What could you do about that?
You have to just play what's in front of you on the day. So we probably were happy to a degree, but it's now championship, and I feel like regardless of how well you do in the league, everyone ups their level in championship. So we obviously want to just work hard. And again, I think for us, and I think the spectacle of ladies Gaelic football, we want to be a team that plays really nice football. Nice football being like, you know, fast moving, free flowing football where there's no real set defenses or everyone just kind of can go at it. And we pride ourselves on how we play and the standard that we put out. And we want people to be talking about the ladies game on the same kind of par as the lads game. So for us, we want to just keep rising the standards within ladies Gaelic football and obviously work hard and be a really hardworking team and a hard team to play against. And yeah, I guess just build on last year. But I think any successful team works really hard and nearly outworks the opposition. And that's what we try and have tried to do, especially last year. I felt like on the All-Ireland final, we came out all guns blazing and we finished that first half very strong, which was probably a credit to our S&C that's been brought up so many times, I feel, on this podcast. But yeah.
Because he's a legend.
Yeah. No, Sammy.
And that was clear to see. And that's what everybody would say. Like, you're quite an industrious team and a fast team, powerful team. And as a result of that, it enables you to play football mm-hmm. in the way that you want to play football. But this weekend against Kildare, isn't it?
Yeah, on Sunday.
They're coming in following a huge win. Mm-hmm. Your guys' last fixture was a big win as well.
Yeah.
It's an interesting affair between Dublin and Kildare, which is traditionally a big fixture. They like to play football as well, so hopefully we see a free-flowing game. Are you excited for the weekend and what's prep looking like for the rest of the week then, if you're off today?
Yeah, no, really excited. Obviously, Kildare, I think they've been undefeated essentially in an outrageous amount of games because obviously they went on and won the Intermediate Championship last year. So they're coming in like obviously very, you know, well-equipped and they've a really good group of players there and some really good forwards as well. So I guess we just have to focus on ourselves, obviously identify their threats and whatnot. But as you said, they like to play football, kind of open, expansive football as well. So I'd imagine it'll be quite a open game, which I think everyone would rather play than play against a team that's going to park people behind the ball and things like that, because that brings its own challenges at times. But yeah, training this week, Wednesday and Friday. So we'll just look ahead to that. And I think it's really exciting. We've had a few weeks off now to just kind of regroup. And we were given a week off as well, just to kind of do our own thing, which was nice as well. Because as I said, for something that's not a paid profession, you give so much of your time to county setups and it does become part of your life. So it is nice to also get time off. So that was lovely to get just even a week away. And yeah, look forward to this weekend. And then, as I said, it'll kind of roll in quite quickly from there with Leinster Championship into the All-Ireland Series. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Does your time off differ at all here versus what it does in Australia if they give you the day off? Or I don't know if they'd even give you a week off in Oz.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think on my days off in Oz, I went to the beach and got to...
You go to the beach here.
Well, I can go to the beach here. It's a little bit colder. Days off in Oz, obviously you go down to the beach or just, enjoy your time off. But it was similar in that you just want to take it easy, look after your body and not get up to anything too strenuous. So hopefully now, you know, the weather's getting a little bit better here. That's what we keep saying. Fingers crossed. It'll get a bit nicer. But on your days off, obviously just relaxing and looking after yourself. Because as I said, it's everyone goes to work and has a job here. So it's really important, I guess, when you do have even a few hours of time just to look after yourself and, mind your body. Because we don't have the luxury of probably, having more time to take it easy as you would ever in Australia.
Loads of people are going to Australia at the moment from Ireland.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is mental. And I have plans to go back, obviously, as well. But there are aspects of Australian culture that I love and some that I don't love as much.
Yeah.
What surprised you most about going out? And why would you tell somebody to move to Australia or give somebody advice that they should move to Australia?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I realised having gone over, and you were there as well, how many Irish there are. You turn and corner. Now, Brisbane was a bit quieter, which was actually nearly nice because I actually nearly was forced, as in a team environment, forced to spend time with Australian people. But when I went down to Sydney, you're going down by Coogee or whatever, and it's you just GA shorts and county colours everywhere. You actually can't escape it. But no, I guess I think the opportunity to travel, see that part of the world is just so enticing for people. I guess I'm obviously 24 now and I feel like a lot of people in that mid-20s age are just at the point where with COVID and stuff, we didn't probably get a chance to travel and a few years were put on hold. So everyone's just kind of taking that opportunity now, having worked maybe a year or two of normal life again to just travel. And I think there's some people that are giving out about the Irish all going over and some people that are so for it. One of the Australian girls asked if we were in a war. as to why there's so many Irish.
Debatable.
They were like, what's going on over in Ireland? Like, why is everyone leaving? And we were like, oh, just can't get enough of this good weather. And in fairness, that is the main thing. And I think the lifestyle and just even mentally to have a completely different outlook on life and how you can spend your time doing different things and just more of a outdoorsy vibe, which I loved because, you know, here I try to be outdoors as much as I can, but, you know, the weather and the lifestyle over here doesn't lend to that as much. But yeah, I think it is pretty cool. But at the same time, I was saying to you off air, like, I'm such a home bird. So I found the initial few weeks really, really challenging. And even when I go back over later in the year, I will probably find that time really hard again because you grow to love and, you know, enjoy spending time with people that you're just used to. And it's like your comfort zone. So leaving was definitely a challenge. And I think I will always be drawn back to here, regardless of how many times I go back to Australia. I think home is Dublin for me. And it's probably, yeah, something that'll, my family and friends here will probably constantly be pulling on my heartstrings, as you'd say. But I think Australia for now is great. And I do think it's a cool country.
Super cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So is it just people really that you struggled with not having them there when you went out? Or is there any aspects of Australian culture that you just can't get with whatsoever?
There wasn't actually much that I couldn't really get with.
Or that you didn't enjoy, maybe?
Not necessarily. Like, I was in a team environment and spent most of my time with that group of people 24/7. So I think the challenge was that at the start, when I was a newbie trying to find myself within that team and where I fit and how people viewed you and gaining trust of players around that group was probably what I found the hardest. Engaging people and what they thought and how Australians as a whole probably carried themselves. And like, as Irish, we're quite similar in many ways. So it was definitely interesting trying to get to know, engage an Australian person and whether they're in a good mood, bad mood, or, you know, that kind of thing. But because I went into an environment within a team, I kind of, it was something I was familiar with from home. So it helped me a huge amount. So definitely the family and friends thing. And I think just not being able to pick up the phone or call someone at any time of the day. Or even if I'd had like a poor training session or just found something hard that day and I just wanted to chat to my mom or chat to one of my friends, look at the world clock on your phone and it's 3 a.m. So yeah, definitely challenging from that end, just trying to even keep up to date with people. And you probably came to realize as well, when you're trying to talk to people on a regular basis back home, it's actually not feasible. I joke to all my friends saying, once I'm gone, like, check it every now and again, but it's hard to maintain like consistent contact. And vice versa, now that I'm back in Ireland, I'm chatting to the Australian girls every now and again, but it's nothing, you know, outrageously regular because everyone's so busy and you're on different time frames completely.
It's a phone call or voice notes.
Yeah.
Number one, like, voice notes are good. Just keeping up, telling them what's going on. It's a nice touch. Some people don't like voice notes.
Yeah.
Too bad. They work for me in my schedule, so I'll be sending them. But it sounds like you're very fully focused on your sport.
Yeah.
But you said you do have a nice time away from sport in that, like, you do have your time to go for coffees, go for swims and have a break. But having a lot of your best friends playing sport as well, do you find ever that it does become a little bit monotonous at times and sometimes you need a break from it completely? And then how do you get that break?
Yeah, definitely. Probably maybe coming home to like the setup here and going straight back into it, I probably have come to realize that my life does revolve a lot around sport. I don't think I would at the moment, or I wouldn't change anything I've done or change what I have now. And I'm so grateful for the opportunities that have been presented to me. And not everyone gets an opportunity to play for their county and then get an opportunity to go over and play in Australia. So, like, it'd be silly of me to be given out about it. But as you said, it is a lot. And sometimes it is nice to kind of just take a break. I feel like last year probably was the first year I kind of nearly went 12 months of nonstop activity sports-wise. So that in itself brought its own challenges. Obviously, I was given a little bit more time before going back to Dublin this year, which was nice as well. But yeah, you'd wonder how sustainable it is, you know, going forward. And I think for me, it's just about, I have friends outside of sport and school friends that I've kept in contact with, which are great. And just having outlets of different things that are outside of sport completely. Or even if I do meet up with some of the girls that I play with Dublin with, you know, we go do something else or go for dinner and don't talk about, you know, the team and what's coming up and things like that. And I think trying to find a balance between that is helpful as well, because it consumes a lot of your life already. So if you're talking about it again at home or outside of training hours, it can, yeah, become overwhelming.
Do you find there's more of an emphasis placed on it and maybe more resources provided to switch off in Australia towards here, where if you're playing football, like, needs to be your life, needs to be sleeping, eating, breathing it. Don't think about anything else. Don't talk about anything else.
And yeah,
as we were speaking about earlier, don't put anything on social media.
I know.
Whereas over there, it's like, put everything on social media.
It's interesting. It's so different because, yeah, again, inter-county stuff here, being a non-professional setup, yet everything is behind closed doors. Like, you train, no one knows what you're doing at training. And if anyone rocks up and walks past, it's like, what are you doing here? This is a closed, you know, setup. And it's funny because where we train in Australia, in Brisbane, any regular Joe can walk past on a walk and there's no bother with them sitting around standing and whatnot. So it's just, again, I think it just comes back to us as Irish people and how we carry ourselves and what, I don't know, what we do and how we go about our business. Which is, interesting because even chatting to like Sinead Goldrick, who plays with Melbourne, and she says they train over there and like we probably went to a completely public park.
Yep.
And the Collingwood men's team, who just won the premiership last year, who are these professional athletes that people would be starstruck to see on the street, are just kicking a ball around in a regular field. Whereas, you know,
and the Swans do the exact same thing in Sydney. Like,
and then you have even us in our setup, we're training in a
Jim McGuinness is putting a wall around.
I know, a gated community nearly. But it's just what we know and how we what we're used to. But it is funny to see because it's two completely contrasting ways of going about it. But then both
are right in their own right.
And both have...
But they can probably learn a little bit from the other one, I think.
Yeah.
Especially if we're worried about attendances at games, I think we probably need to be a little bit more open in what we disclose. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here talking about it, I suppose, and we're being open. And you're, as you said before the podcast, you're giving away what you want and not giving away what you don't want to give away.
But again, and then I guess that's the thing over here. Trying to promote the game is so important. And I think exposure to the ladies game especially is huge, and how we're trying to push that even across the board. And for me, I think it's just super important that people even talk about ladies football or are in the know with what games are going on and what's happening. And even if there's a game on at the weekend, hearing little kids or even young boys in the school that I'm working at asking what game you have this weekend, Miss Dunn, different things like that. And it shouldn't be the way, but when you have little lads asking about ladies games, you're coming along. And again, I know the Leinster ladies final is going to be in Croke Park the same day as the lads final. So whoever ends up there, whether that be us or another team in Leinster, it's another opportunity to have two games on and hopefully get good crowds at it. But I think there should be more things and more opportunities for like double headers and things like that over here. And I heard people talking about it in Australia as well and how it could also lend to huge success in the promotion of the game over there, because AFLW is only in its 8th year, whereas the lads game's in I don't even know how many years. But it's also on that same trajectory nearly where you're trying to promote the game. So that's another huge similarity. They're still pushing to get as much as the lads, because as great as it is getting paid, they're not getting as much as the lads. And there's disparity in both, which is, mad to think.
But it will improve for sure, because if you look at the average attendances of all of the clubs in the AFLW, they're all on the rise. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you looked at the average attendances in the GAA, sure, we might be getting more numbers to the bigger games.
Yeah.
But is there a significant increase in those other games, maybe the rounds of the league and whatnot? And I think there are a number of things that need to be worked on. Coverage of the games is great on TG Cahir. Probably need a little bit more of it. And we probably need a separate channel as well, because it clashes with the men's all the time.
Yeah.
And as well as that, I think from what we were talking about off air as well, I think a lot of the female athletes and the ladies Gaelic footballers are a lot more clued in into the power of building a personal brand and actually putting things out there and going and speaking to people and building a buzz around the sport than maybe the men are, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's because it's necessary, because we need to get it up to the same level as the lads.
Yeah.
I think the quicker both parties, not that they're separate because we're amalgamating GAA now, but realise that, look, we need to have a big push on getting more eyes on it, because this is our national sport.
Yeah.
And we should be raising this up and not putting it behind closed doors, the better.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that the Australians get really, really right.
Yeah.
But maybe sometimes they give away a little bit too much.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I think, again, it's going to take time, and hopefully the amalgamation of the GAA, LGFA and Camogie Association will, you know, help that hugely. Even the two Camogie games being on in Croke Park yesterday, even just for
and primetime RTE as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The exposure of the game and getting those games shown on RTE is huge. So little things like that obviously are super helpful. The only thing I would say, I guess, is because we're not a professional setup and sometimes training or playing games on a Sunday afternoon or a bank holiday Monday for viewing rights on Tadhg Ceathair can be at its own difficulties in that. I think nearly all ladies games should be tried to, or any game should try to be played on a Saturday evening or a Saturday daytime just because of recovery on the other end, and there's people not going to work on a Monday. But then the debate of whether you should have Friday night games, but then everyone's coming from a job. So things like that, pros and cons, I guess, to both. But I guess for me, we've probably had to play a few games on a bank holiday Monday. So that means you're waiting around Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Playing at 4 o'clock on a bank holiday Monday isn't great in promoting and enticing the game for girls, because you want to, you know, enjoy the games, but also then maybe have a weekend day off as well to recover and things like that.
But I think Friday nights is the way to go. And I know what you're going to say, but and me both know the feeling of rushing across town to make a Dublin league or championship game with club on a Wednesday night or a Friday. And it is a nightmare.
I know.
But you do get there.
Yeah.
And you do play.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make that much of an impact.
No.
You know you're playing away, so you leave work early. Like.
Yeah. And the game gets played. And I think over in Australia, the Thursday and Friday night games get huge traction. And then as a result, you'd have a longer recovery. But I guess, again, as you said, everyone's working a job, so it's probably not as feasible. And I guess with us in Dublin, it's all right. But if you're traveling from Dublin to another county or things like that, it adds its own challenges. But
I can tell you safely, it's easier to drive from the top of Tipperary to the bottom at rush hour than it is to drive from the north side to the south side or south side to the north side.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we train the north side always, so the south siders get the short straw with that. But again, if you need to be there at six, you know, you just have to filter in time, and you will change your day accordingly because you know you have to be there at a certain time and you put your priorities in a certain way to align with that. So,
So let's do it. Let's get Friday night games going. Okay. Quick four questions to finish, Jen.
Yeah.
Proudest achievement to date?
It'd be hard not to say either of the last two that I kind of was involved with. I think the All-Ireland win with Dublin was a huge thing considering where we came from, and we lost a lot of players the previous year. So the journey we as a group made, and as I said, playing alongside some girls that I've played with for a good few years, it was very sweet. And there was almost a sense of just relief and accomplishment that we weren't the favourites. So that's up there. And then I think, pretty cool in the sense that I went over and started a sport that I had never played. And then 4 months later, I'm on a premiership winning team. So either of those two really, for different reasons, but...
Or both together.
Yeah, that's true. They both crossed.
You're the first.
Yeah. The first.
As everybody's told you, I'm sure.
Again, but that's something that people say to me and it kind of just goes over my head. But again, as I said, try to build on them and it'd be cool to be the only one to do the double-double, if you get me. But so just start afresh and go at it again this year, I guess.
Favorite athlete of all time?
There was a few, like, I love Steph Curry, random one, but I actually would have played basketball a good bit in school. So I've always admired him. And then I think Nadal, tennis, also played tennis when I was younger. And I feel like those kind of sports and what he does, even especially on clay courts, is insane. And his winning rate or whatever on clay is like 90-odd%. So the ability he has in an individual sport to, you know, break through those mental barriers that I think a lot of players have, is insane and very admirable, because I don't know if I'd be able to do that in an individual setup. I think that's why team setups for me are why I like being successful, and I think I'd crumble in an individual sport.
I don't know though, work rate wise maybe you're up there with Nadal, because that's generally why he's winning on clay, is because he's just
mentally maybe I'd slip down a little bit.
I think you're being modest there. You're going to do the double-double coming up, obviously, as you just said, so we'll see if that happens, but hopefully, fingers crossed. What's the biggest thing that you've learned in the last 12 months?
We've touched on it already, but just being that present and kind of appreciating the moment that you're in and accepting it for what it is. When I'm here in Ireland, you know, taking every day as it comes and being grateful for that and what comes with that. And then obviously when I'm in Australia also, you know, living life to the fullest as such, because I don't know how many people or how long I'll be able to live this life and have the opportunities that I have at this moment. So just enjoying it and kind of, yeah, really being in the moment, I'd say.
Well, you're smashing it. Keep it up. Last one.
Yeah.
What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
I was thinking about this.
You just got in with Dublin, actually, at 18.
Yeah, at 18,
well.
Leaving cert year. Probably just even looking back is not to be afraid of getting stronger, even from like a gym S&C background. Like we've had young girls come in this year and really take them well to the gym. Obviously, it's hard at the start, but for me, I never had any exposure to that at 18 prior to the Dublin setup. I probably went through the motions a little bit at the start, but not being afraid or like, you know, feel out of your comfort zone going into the gym as most young 18-year-olds do, but just understanding that being strong and being, you know, a good female athlete requires you to get those things done in the gym. So I think looking back, even I have 19-year-old sisters now and just telling them to, you know, go down. And there's like this taboo about, I think females, especially in club setups, I'm not sure what it's like, but my sisters are terrified to go into the gym at home just because they might meet a lad or, you know, different things like that. Whereas men are always up here on it and girls maybe not so much. So definitely for my 18-year-old self, just kind of just go at it and not be afraid to get stronger, because I think the way the game's going now in both competitions, being fast and being strong hold you in very good stead for how you go to play the game.
Awesome. I love that end to the podcast.
Yeah.
Jen, thanks a million for
Thank
coming
you.
On. It's been class.
Thanks, Mel. Thank you.